Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Okay, and we've had questions come through. Quite a popular question that we'd love to unpack today is, how can I know there is a God? And if I might just, unpack that just a little bit. We look on TV, we look on the Discovery Channel, as we all do, watch a bit of David Attenborough. There is no need for God. You know, mankind is here, we're operating. Do we really need God? Did God create all of this? To the point where even it's starting to become silly or even unintelligent if we have a faith in something that isn't science, a faith in something that we cannot see, and even the Christian perspective is starting to see a little bit outdated. So, yeah, we just love to hear your thoughts on
sure.
That.
Well, let's be quite honest. Sometimes when it comes to this question of how can I know that there is a God, sometimes we think we are talking about people who have no faith in God whatsoever. But the reality is, I don't know about you, but there are days that I have to ask myself that question, how do I know that there is a God? And it's, guess what? It's okay to have that thought. Okay, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian any longer or that you somehow lack faith. But let me tell you something. I don't have faith simply because faith got me there. I actually have faith because intelligent thinking got me to faith. For example, when I look at this chair, I think to myself, intelligence tells me it's got four legs. It looks like it's going to hold me up. So by faith, I put all my weight on it. Faith is what I had to employ to sit on the chair, but intelligence got me there. When I think about, is there a God? If you were walking through a forest and you saw an iPhone X and you picked it up and it unlocked itself because of the facial recognition software that only Apple have?
Not Santa.
I don't think so. Right? I guarantee you, most of us, I'm going to say most because I don't know everybody, but most of us would say, wow, this thing looks like it's been designed by somebody. I don't think many of you would say, look what wind and rain and thousands of years has caused. Wow, evolution is such an amazing process. Your intelligence wouldn't allow you to do that. There's not a chance you would do that. You would say, I don't know what this thing is for. Maybe I've never seen it before. But your intelligence will lead you to faith to say, wait for it. I haven't met the person who made this thing. I haven't never seen them. But something tells me somebody made this. Yeah. Right? That's called faith. Well, guess what? When I look at your body, it is 60 billion times more complicated than that phone. Yeah. And when I look at you, I don't know. I've never seen the person who made you, but someone did. Because you are so intelligently designed. And where there is intelligent design, there is an intelligent designer. And I tell you what, when you really boil it down with someone who would say, now please, I'm not mocking anybody, but let's just talk openly. When someone says, I don't believe in God, then they have to believe that something made something. And when it really comes down to it, what people choose to believe sometimes is what we call the evolution theory. In other words, you have to have faith in that thing. Because they weren't there when it all happened as well. So we choose to believe that God made the earth. Yeah. People choose to believe that the earth made the earth. Yeah. Yeah, there's a scientific equation. Sorry, I've probably taken a bit too long, but I'm very passionate about this. It goes like this. A scientific equation says nothing cannot make something. But yet that's what a lot of people choose to believe. So I choose to believe in God because my intelligence tells me that he's there. Amen? That's what I think anyway.
Awesome. All right, moving right along.
Yes.
And, you mentioned controversial at the start.
Yep.
But this is what the people want. So we're going to ask the questions that people are talking about.
Yep.
The next question is, are people who are LGBTQI, thank you, Pastor Richard.
T.
Welcome T. in our church. So let me just open that up a little bit. No doubt it's been on the lips of our nation. It's been in the media. It's been in the social media. We've just had our vote on the same-sex marriage. It's on our lips. We're all talking about it. And from what I'm getting, there's a perspective that God and even the church hate this community and hate these people. I would even go as far to say some churches would actually not welcome LGBTQI, nailed it, people into their communities. So what we would love to know is, do we welcome these people into our church?
Well, I think that's a great question. Well done for asking it. There's no doubt in some churches, people that are a part of that community are not welcome. That it's made known that they are not welcome. Lifehouse is not in that category. We welcome anybody at any time to come into this church to connect with God who can help them. Give them some hope. And I love the spirit in which we carry ourselves as a church. But let's not mistake our lack of an intentional lack of condemnation, because we show no condemnation. There's no condemnation. But it doesn't mean that we then condone. And so I love the spirit that we have in this church, because I tell you what, and we've said this many times, let's never judge somebody else because their sin is different to ours. Right? Every single person in this room has got something going on, let's be honest, okay? And all of us, at the end of the day, we all need Jesus. Amen? So yes, absolutely, they are welcome in this church, and they will forever be welcome.
Awesome. We'll just continue on this tangent for a little bit.
Yep.
Another question that came through is, what does God think about homosexuality?
Okay, again, I think leading from that, it's so important to know what the Bible says about it. This is not one of those things that I have an opinion on. We're just going to quote literally what the Word of God would say about this. The Bible makes it pretty clear that homosexuality is not God's plan for someone's life. Among a whole lot of other sins, let's be honest. But let's call it what it is. The Bible would say that it's a sin. And what does that simply mean? It means you've missed the mark. It means that's not what God wants for your life. And I think something we've got to understand about something like homosexuality, God is not against people. He is for people. God's not trying to hurt people. He's trying to help people. And so when the scripture speaks about this, and this is what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or who practice homosexuality. Let's make something clear. It is there amongst a whole lot of other things that God says don't do. But listen, it is there. Some people want to take it out, and some people want to leave it all by itself. But the reality is it's in there amongst a whole lot of other stuff that God would say, don't go down that road. It's not good for you. It's not what I want for your life. Now, some people would then say, Pastor Richard, that's so mean. These people are born this way. And I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. But one thing I do know is that if you're basically saying that if you have a propensity for something that you should follow your propensity. I know some people that have got alcoholism for 5 or 6 generations, and some of the young men, some of the young girls want to drink alcohol to take their pain away. Should that person then be a drunkard because they've got a propensity, they were born that way? We would say, no, don't be a drunkard. If somebody was very good at lying because they're born that way, would we say to them, well, you go ahead and lie because you're born that way? You know, we accept that. No, we would all say to them, don't do that. I know some men in this church who are happily married but would love to have 5 or 6 girls on the side. I'm born that way. Well, bad luck that you're born that way. Don't do it. It's not helpful for you. And so we honestly believe that it's not God's plan. Now, can I continue though? Can I go a bit deeper? This is the great news though, because the very next verse, or 2 verses later, verse 11, this is what the Apostle Paul says. And that is what some of you were. That's what. Now listen, right now in this room, I know of people that were living a homosexual lifestyle. Jesus came into their life. Today they would tell me that's not something that they are pursuing any longer. God can change someone's heart. God can change their mindset. God can take them on a different journey. Amen. Go for your life, though.
Awesome. Moving on to another question that has been coming through, and I think you'll like this one. It's been coming through fairly often.
Okay.
Fairly hot. But how often do you go to gym? People just want to know, because apparently you're looking fit. This is the people. It's what they want.
I'm not sure about that. Well, look, I don't go that often, but what I have been doing lately is I go to a gym over there. Not that often. I wish I did. Awesome. I do go running once in a while. Just try and stay a little bit fit. Okay.
Awesome. And next question.
Yep.
And it's a little bit of one that might make some of our young people laugh, but it's a serious question that people want to know about.
Sure.
What is the situation with altering our bodies, in particular breast implants? So genuine, that question has come through. Some people have wanted to know. I would say from a perspective that God has created us.
Yep.
We would like to think God doesn't make mistakes.
Yep.
I'm assuming that's the line of thought people are going in. But what is the Bible's perspective, God's thoughts on breast implants?
Specifically breast implants.
I want to know pec implants. No. Yep. Specifically breast implants.
So, all right, well, let's go there. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, we all know is that those few passages there where the Apostle Paul talks about, specifically about women, actually, in this case here. In other times, he's talking about men. This case, he's talking about women. He says, I want women to be modest in their appearance, that they should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way that they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes or Tiffany. It doesn't say that there, but I just threw that in there, okay? Helen, sorry, Dylan. It says, for women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things that they do. And so I would just say this, and we'll talk very specifically in a moment about the breast implant thing, but if you're doing anything on the outside so that because you think it's going to make you a better person on the inside, that's a complete waste of time, okay? The Bible is saying the only way that you can really be truly attractive, truly, in God's sight, is to let the Holy Spirit work on you from the inside out, okay? But let's assume that you understand that part. Let's specifically talk about body modification. You know, some people get a bit judgy when it comes to breast implants, but, you know, they had braces when they were younger. Yeah. Or they had a nose job, or they want to lose some weight. You know, or whatever it is. So let's be honest, I think all of us are on some sort of body modification program. And you know, and if a woman, you know, let's go there. So for women, there's no doubt about it that for some women, who they are as a woman is actually tied up in their cup size. And anyway, by the way, I've had women come up to me and say, Pastor Richard, what do you think of breast implants? Like, straight up. Now, I don't know, what am I meant to do at that moment? Like, where am I meant to look? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Pastor Richard, I want to get breast... like, what am I supposed to... You know what I mean? Like, am I supposed to be the judge and go, nah, you're... Like, it's just weird. And then they go ahead and get it done. And then they come to church and they're like, what are you... Like, what am I supposed to say? Yeah. And they're standing there with their husband. Anyway. Hey, listen, it's okay, all right? If you want to do some stuff that makes you feel better, I know it's made a big difference in some people's lives, just like other body modifications has done to other people's lives. Let's always have a spirit of, let people do what they want to do. Come on, sometimes we need to do a bit more of this. And let people do their thing. Can we do that? Yeah, just let people do their thing. If it makes them feel great, okay, we're not sinning against God, okay? We just need to be open about that. Is that okay? It's not open about it. Just let's let people do what they want to do. Yeah.
Question that has come through again a few times. What is the purpose of fasting? How do we do it? And how long do we do it for?
Sure. There is a lot of mystery surrounding fasting. Okay. I think that's why it's come up. Jesus spoke about it. In the Old Testament, it was a way of life. And so the reason why people are looking into this is because Jesus didn't say, if you fast, he actually said, when you fast. So it's almost expected to be a part of the Christian lifestyle. Now, the problem is a lot of us really love our food. So it's like, Jesus, I'm happy to pray, but the fasting thing, do I really need to do that? And why? Well, the truth is we actually don't really know why, except that we do know its power. So one day the disciples came down the mountain and they couldn't cast out a demon out of a young boy. But Jesus comes down And he's able to, the disciples came down, they couldn't cast it out, Jesus was able to cast it out. They said to Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And he said, because sometimes it takes prayer and fasting. So there is a power in this. Now, I know for a fact that I was praying for my four friends to be saved when I first found Jesus, and they were not listening to a word I was saying. They were not interested. They literally shut their ears to me. And then I was reading my Bible, and I read about this fasting thing. So I fasted for 4 days. I didn't eat food for 4 days, one day for each one of my friends. At the end of the fourth day, I invited them to a meeting, and they all gave their life to Jesus at the end of that four-day fast. So the way in which you fast, I don't think there's any rules and laws about it. I think what God is just looking for is sometimes, are you willing to sacrifice so that God can take center place? So it's not just fasting, by the way, it's prayer and fasting. In other words, don't just starve yourself and then you just play PlayStation. You know what I mean? I don't think that's what we're doing here. We're concentrating on God. We're letting our hunger remind us that we're seeking God for something. So, yeah, that's just a little bit about it. By the way, we do that in January for 7 days. And we usually do a Daniel diet, which is fruit and veg. You're welcome to do that. But the real people are going to have no... We're going to do it this year. No food for 7 days. Yeah. I know. Yeah, we're going to do it. Now, please go see your doctor. And your doctor's going to take one look at you and say, don't do it, right? Because they know you love food too much. But... No, seriously, go see your doctor, but we're going to do that this year. Yeah, next year, 2018. Yeah.
Moving on, we're going to do some rapid-fire questions.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to just fire 10 questions off. We're going to put 60 seconds on the clock, so get ready. Everybody strap in, all right? We're going to go for it. They're going to come in hot. The answers have got to come out even hotter.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
Let's do it, all right. Can we please have 60 seconds on the clock? Ready, set, go. What is the situation with cremation?
Cremation, some people have got a problem with it because they think that, well, Jesus is going to come back and put our bodies back together. How's he going to do that? The Bible says that we all turn to dust no matter where you are and how it's done. So cremation, I don't think God's got a problem.
Awesome, next question.
Okay, yeah.
Is it ever okay for a Christian to swear?
No. No.
Okay, happy with that? Is the Illuminati real?
Absolutely.
Come on, YouTube it. Big question that's coming, is there a footy team I should follow and one I shouldn't?
From a God perspective?
From God's perspective.
We should all follow the Saints.
Well, who shouldn't we follow?
And we shouldn't follow the demons.
All right, moving right along, are ghosts real?
No. Yes, but...
Come on, we've got to go.
Okay, yeah.
Who is stronger, an angel or a demon?
Whoever you have more faith in.
Ooh. Wow. Should we ever go to a clairvoyant?
Never.
Should everybody do Lifehouse Leadership College?
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on will Carlton ever win a premiership again?
We've run out of time. Oh, come on. I'd love to answer that. But we've just run out
of
time.
All right, that's our 60 seconds. Yeah. I hope you caught some of that. Carlton will never win a flag ever. Amen.
I pray against that, mate.
All right. All right, moving right along. And we're going to talk about sex. Is that all right? Can we talk about sex here today? We're all adults.
Yeah.
Particularly a question that's come through is sex before marriage.
Yep.
And what is God's thoughts on that?
Okay. It's interesting because I'm looking at the crowd, and when this question was asked this time last year, there were some couples in this room that were going out and they weren't married and they were ducking for cover when this question came up. But now that they're married, they're like, yeah, you tell them, Pastor Rich. Yeah, you tell them. Come on. Yeah, now you're sitting all upright. Yeah, okay. Hey, look, I tell you what, let's talk about this outside of the Bible just for a moment, and then we'll have a look what the Word of God says. When we take this just out of the Bible for a moment, it's funny what some people think is okay for them, you know, and they'll actually debate me to my face about whether something is right or wrong, but when you ask them, do you want your own daughter to do... They're like, well, no, not really. No, I don't. No, I actually don't. Do you want your son to be? No, I don't. So you're happy for you to do it, but you don't want your children to do it. I think your opinion about what you want, what you're happy for your children to do is actually your heart of hearts. And I think what we sometimes are happy for us to do is because we just feel like we're weak and we can't make it, you know, we can't get through it anyway. And so, you know, let's talk about this sex before marriage thing. Sex was created by God for our enjoyment, and it's supposed to be a thing of beauty and pleasure and intimacy, and it brings a couple together And that's what God designed. The only problem is with sex before marriage is what you also introduce to the bedroom is guilt. What if my parents find out? What if I fall pregnant? What if other people find out? What if he's just using me? There's a whole lot of stuff that comes into the bedroom that God says, this stuff was never meant to be here. It was supposed to be, I'm secure, this is my husband, this is my wife. If we fall pregnant, oh well, probably a little bit inconvenient, but that's okay. We're happy to have a child anyway. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we introduce a whole lot of stuff that God says, that wasn't my plan for you. It's, listen, once again, God's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. And you know, the conversations I've had over 30 years of being a Christian, these are the conversations I've had, especially with young women, to be honest. Girls that would look me in the eye, who were having sex before marriage right now, who would say, but it's okay. When you talk to them once they're married, they say, I really wish I waited. There's probably not one girl that would, so far, that would say to me, no, I'm so proud I did that. I'm really glad I did that. Most of them would say, yeah, I wish I did it a bit differently. Well, you know what? If you haven't gone there yet, learn from those people. And if you have, there's forgiveness in Jesus, and let's just move forward and make some better decisions in life. Amen. But listen, there's no judgment. There's no condemnation in Jesus. But let's make some wise decisions for our lives. Let me just say one last thing. You know, our world is suffering with a whole lot of diseases, venereal diseases, STDs, HIV. There's a whole lot of stuff going on out there. I don't want to be simplistic, but I'm going to be. I reckon we can get rid of those diseases quite easily in one generation. How? You know, if a virgin would just marry a virgin and stay together, we're done. Oh, that's a bit simplistic. Yeah, I know. But, you know, this is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 2. Now, regarding the question you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations, but because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. Okay, so the Word of God, I think, is instructing us. Come on, keep it within the bedroom with the one person and show some love and...
Awesome, moving right along.
Yep.
Why is anxiety and depression on the rise? I think if we're looking around our world, there are more and more mental health organisations helping people, supporting people, which is fantastic.
Yep.
Unfortunately, suicide rates are increasing.
Right.
I would say that everybody knows somebody struggling with some type of depression or mental health issue. So would you just elaborate on that?
Most of us would know someone, like I think Dave just said that, who is affected by mental illness, someone that you know, someone that you care about is going through depression or anxiety, and it is prevalent today. I think there's a couple of things that are making things go in this direction. You know, when Jesus preached his first sermon, the first thing he talked about, well, if you actually have a look at it, this is what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 34, guys. It says, therefore, do not worry. You know, Jesus could have talked about a whole lot of other stuff. He could have talked about so many topics, so many issues. And the first thing he wanted to tackle is, guys, do not worry. And why would he talk about that? Because he knows what it leads to. And worry, listen, by the way, if you're wondering what worry really is, I think most of us know what it is, but let me unpack it for you. Worry is the abuse of your God-given imagination. God gave you an imagination to dream about good things, big things, your marriage, your kids, how things are going to work out right, your dreams, your holidays. Instead, we use it for, I'm going to lose my job, things are going to go bad, I think I've got cancer, and so forth and so on. And what happens from there? Well, it starts to create anxiety. When you start to worry, it creates anxiety. Hey, by the way, that's not a suggestion by Jesus. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. And this is what the Bible says about anxiety. Once anxiety hits your heart, it says, anxiety in the heart of a man, or woman, of course, causes depression. Hey, isn't it great that the Word of God's been speaking about this for a lot of years? Anxiety in your heart will cause depression. But look at what the cure is. But a good word makes it glad. Reading your Bible, catching up with positive people, coming to church, going to a positive life group, hanging out with positive people. Amen, right? Getting around good people will cause your anxieties to lower, causing depression to lift. Now, of course, some of it is clinical and it's medical and it needs some medication. We understand that process as well. But I think a lot of it comes, guys, from the fact that we can get on our little phones and find out every evil deed that has taken place around the earth, all in 5 minutes. I don't think that's the plan of God for human beings. You know, a human being might have heard about one or two things that went bad in the world back in the old days. Now we can find about every evil that has ever taken place. I'm not sure we were meant to cope with that. So just be careful how much you read, just be, especially before you go to bed. Is that all right?
Yeah, great. This is our final question, and I might leave this one with you, Pastor Richard, just to unpack a little bit.
Sure.
But how can we be sure that God will accept us into heaven?
How can we be sure
that God will accept us into heaven? And I might leave you with that.
Thank you, Dave. Give Dave a round of applause. He's done a great job, Dave. Hey, this is a really, really, really important question. Of everything we've just spoken of, you know, one day, friends, our life will come to an end. And we should be concerned about us being accepted through those gates. And, you know, there is a way you can know. You know, there's this rumour out there that you can never know. I speak to people who are Christians, and sometimes they'll say to me, oh, well, you don't really know. That's like someone saying to me, Richard, are you married? And I go, I don't really know. Like, I'm not... Richard, do you have children? I'm not quite sure. I'm not one... God doesn't want us feeling like that about his kingdom. And so if you want to know, the Bible tells you. It's really clear. Have a look at what it says. Romans chapter 10. There it is. We're going to read it together. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now just leave that there for a moment. Where in that verse do you see anything about your behaviour? No, there's nothing there about your behaviour. It's all about your belief. It's all about your confession. It's all about the state of your heart. Friends, Christianity is not about your behaviour. That's just a byproduct of what's going on inside your heart. The important part is the, are you willing with your mouth to say, Jesus, you're the Lord. Let me give you today's language. Jesus, you're the boss. My way is out the window. Your way now rules. And the other part is, and I also believe you were raised from the dead. Why is that part important? Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then he didn't pay the price for our forgiveness. But friends, he did. Do you know every person in this room, you know your sins have already been paid for. You just haven't gone and picked up your forgiveness. I'm going to give you a chance in a moment to grab that forgiveness that Jesus has already bought for you. He's already bought it for you when he died on the cross. But you've got to be humble. You've got to be humble. You've got to be willing to say, Jesus, you're the Lord. Now, some of us have been raised Christians and you've never done that. Some of you have been to mainline churches your whole life, but you've never really said, Jesus, you're the boss. You're the Lord. How do I know that to be true? Because that was me. I had a beautiful gold cross around my neck, but I'd never asked Jesus to be the boss of my life. So I'm going to give you all an opportunity to do that, and then you can know that you are saved.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.